Lord, we thank you so much, God, that we can just even come to church, Lord, God, that we can come. And God, Lord, we just lay down our hearts to you, God, and we just ask that you would have your way this morning. God, we pray that you would just take your rightful place in our hearts and our minds and our thoughts, Lord. And so, Lord, we just cast our cares and worries and burdens on you, Lord, for you care. God, I thank you, Lord, that your yoke is easy, your burden is light, God. And God, I thank you, Lord, that each and every one of us in this room is precious in your sight, God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you formed us, you've created us. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have a great plan for each and every person that's in this room, Lord. And God, we just pray, Lord, that you would just draw near to us this morning as we would draw near to you. So God, would you clothe us in your righteousness, God. So God, have your way in this place as we worship you. God, as we worship you in giving, Lord. As we worship you in conversation and thought, Lord. God, I ask that you would break through this morning, God. So Lord, we worship you. And we thank you. Amen.
Well, this morning, we're just going to be having a different kind of service. We're just going to have a whole service of prayer and worship this morning. I would just invite you to actually take a seat right now. And then throughout the service, you're welcome to stand as you feel led or sit as you feel led. I encourage you to make sure you have your Bibles accessible. So Tuesday, I met with Ben and talked with him about where I've been at in my devotions and in my time with the Lord, and I just was telling him how I was processing a desire to maybe spend more time in worship in sort of a form of corporate repentance or a congregational repentance and just crying out for the Lord's mercy. And I was talking to him a little bit about where I've seen that in the Bible, and was really at that time kind of reflecting on the beginning of the book of Nehemiah. And so we were talking about how I was feeling about that and how the church right now feels about that. Not just our church, but the more global church. And so we were kind of processing it and considering it, but not sure if we were going to do that this week or next week. And it was, I believe, the next day that Glenn Burris, the president of Foursquare, sent out an email just encouraging all the churches this morning to pray for the victims in Las Vegas and the families of the victims in Las Vegas and the community in Las Vegas. And so we continue to be even led a little bit further towards a morning of prayer and intercession. And then as the week went on, Ben got really sick, and unfortunately he's home right now very sick. And so it became obvious that we were going to need to do something different than his message this morning. And just everything was aligning towards us spending a time this morning in prayer and intercession. So that's what we're going to do. And just so you kind of know where we're going, we're going to start out in a more personal form of prayer. And then we're going to focus on our community. And then we're going to move towards our nation. And just kind of end back at ourselves. And the structure I had in mind of just what I'm hoping to accomplish in prayer is repentance, revival, and restoration. As we would just recognize in humility our weakness and our dependency on God, that He would bring revival in our lives and in our midst and in our nation. And from revival, we would see restoration. Because I want to see lives restored. And I want to see our community restored. I want to see families restored. I want to see this community become a beautiful picture of God's grace. And I want to see this nation become a beacon of light and of the gospel, and not just renowned for Hollywood and capitalism. not trying to speak a judgment over Hollywood or capitalism. I'm just trying to say that I would want to be known around the world as a beacon, a light. And so, Zach, if you can put up 2 Chronicles 7. And I don't know how many of you know, but some of you will. And anyone who's friends with Marley on Facebook would know. But there's an event in Washington, D.C. right now called Awaken the Dawn. And they've been praying since, I believe, Friday in the square there just by the Capitol. There's a tent for every state, and then there's a few main tents for regions. And they're just praying and worshiping for revival in our nation 24 hours a day through Monday. And I just got a chance, one of my friends, Matt Farrell, who leads worship at New Sound Church. He was helping set up the Washington tent. And I got to see a little bit of the live stream of their first evening gathering there. And he just was playing on guitar and singing while they prayed, "Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere." I just think many of us recognize that there's a lot of problems and challenges in our lives and in our communities and in our nation and in the world. And we can feel really helpless. We can feel helpless to overcome them. But let's just remember that He has overcome. And it's not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit that we live and move and breathe, and that we would have hope for revival and restoration. Here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, what we have happening is the dedication of the temple after Solomon had built it. And so there's a whole preceding words about that, but it's during that dedication that Solomon has a vision of the Lord. And this is what he hears from the Lord upon dedicating that temple. "When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place." Where is the temple today? It says, "You are a temple for the Spirit of God. He dwells in you, and by you, He is in our midst. He is in you." And it says that Jesus would walk amongst us. He walks amongst the lampstands, which represent the church. So this morning, would we heed this advice? Would we believe this promise? That if we would humble ourselves and pray and turn from our sin, that He would hear us and that He would heal us? Just some areas I would encourage you to consider, not exclusive by any means, but just areas I felt called to humble myself and repent. Prayerlessness. Lack of engagement in this community. Not investing my time or my focus in the right places. This is certainly not an exclusive list of what we should repent for, but just call in your mind that repentance isn't always about drugs and sex. It's about where we're storing up our treasure, where we're putting our focus as well. And I just encourage you to spend some time. We're just going to play in the background. I just encourage you to pray to the Lord. Just spend some time coming before Him, humbling yourself in prayer. And believing that He would hear and that He would heal our land. Love the sweetness of the Lord's presence. And that as He would convict our hearts, it's not to condemn us. But it's to draw us. To grow us. It's just great with our God that we can have a time of repentance and feel sweetness in the midst of it. You to keep praying. I'm going to sing a song kind of over us, or amongst us, I guess you might say. The words will not be up, and it's just in line with what we're praying about and talking about. But I would also ask at the end of that song, if anyone feels led to lead us corporately or collectively in a prayer of repentance or humbling ourselves before the Lord, I just would invite you up. If you could talk to Alicia, or just kind of come up by Alicia, and we'll just move into a time of letting some people lead us in prayer.
Guilty of a prayerless hearts from your loss. And we've taken for granted your unchanging grace. Turn
called a house of prayer. If my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. This people, this one. Just want to pause for a minute and just keep leaving space. Did anyone feel a clear picture or word or direction that we should be praying together as a church this morning? We're one body. As he would speak to you and lead you, it would be for us.
Confess, bowing here I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
The presence of your majesty.
Your grace has found me just as I am, empty-handed but alive in Your hands.
Just direct our attention to our community, Casino Road, South Everett Foursquare, this church. I want to just start with reading 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Knowing Christ doesn't mean that we don't know suffering, but it does mean that we know comfort in the midst of suffering. And we can be a comfort to others through what we know of Christ. So I know many of you heard and to different extents were impacted by the shooting over here of David Sandoval Hilarios. I might have pronounced his last name wrong, but just this week, David was shot near us, and I know people here knew him. And I know that he was a person that had visited CRKM, that he was a person that had volunteered at Hand in Hand, a person that attended Mariner High School. And I know it impacts people differently. I know when I heard the news, my first reaction was, I know two Davids in this community. And I was looking through Facebook and every news article to find a last name, because I just had that moment of worrying, is this one of the Davids I know? And while I confirmed that it wasn't, I know some of you confirmed that it was. And I'm sorry. Being a Christian doesn't mean we don't know suffering, but it means we have access to comfort in the midst of suffering. For just even as we would have begun, with the ground began to shake and the stone was rolled away, we have hope in a Lord that rose from the grave, and that even death cannot silence the hope we have in Him. It was September 25th that our leadership team gathered at Ben's house to pray and to talk. we just prayed for what we saw being needed in our church or coming up in our church or a vision we had for our church. And it was on September 25th that I wrote in my journal that we need to rapidly equip our youth for handling crisis. Because you guys are going to need to comfort people that don't know how to handle or process these kind of times. And unfortunately, this won't be a single time of suffering or a single time of crisis. I can't even be certain that that was about this time or this crisis. But what I can be certain of from 2 Corinthians is that each of us is equipped from the Lord to be a comforter for others. I don't mean to, well, I do. I hate to say I don't mean to and then to tell somebody to do something, because then I'm doing it. Can I ask the youth to come up and we can just pray for you to be equipped as comforters? Can I ask a few people to come up and just lay hands on them and pray with them? They have the Spirit of God. They're already equipped. But would He just equip their words and equip their hands? This is going to be what we call international style prayer. So while I'm praying on the microphone, that doesn't mean you're listening. It means you're praying also. And we're just all praying at the same time. That's with you. Lord, would you just equip? All right, just to further recognize you as ministers of the gospel. You are ministers of the gospel, and just to further recognize that, just even as we would play this next song and as we would worship the Lord together, I would just ask you to walk through our church and to pray that the Lord would equip all of us as comforters and as ministers of the gospel. Just as you are already empowered as such, would you just pray for us to be empowered as well? I'm not saying you have to like literally lay hands on everyone or pray out loud, even just if you could pray for us.
All who are thirsty, all who are weak, we come to the fountain. Dip your heart in the stream. Washed away in the waves of
I want to invite you to pray out for our community. To the one that has every solution we need, that has all the power we need, has all the comfort we need, all the strategies we need, all the finances we need, all the healing we need. He has it. We cry out. harness. Will you bring evangelists and counselors and advisors and coaches and teachers to this community, God? And business owners. What do we need? What do we need? And do we believe that He can provide it? Even as Ryan shared at the beginning, does He not take care of His people? Does He not provide for their needs? He is the God of all comfort. One word from His mouth can silence a storm. But at the same time, it can shake and it can roar. Just ask that you would open your Bibles to Nehemiah chapter 1. We're going to be reading from verses 4 through 11. I'd love someone to come volunteer to read it because I've just been talking a lot. Will anyone volunteer to come read Nehemiah 1, 4 through 11? Thank you.
Down and wept. For some days I mourned and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Then I said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer your servant is praying before your day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself and my father's family, have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly toward you. We have not obeyed the commands and laws you gave your servant Moses. Remember the instruction you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if your exiled people are at the farthest horizon, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place I've chosen as a dwelling for my name. They are your servants and your people, whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this your servant and to the prayer of the servants who delight in revering your name. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man.
So it's in the very beginning of Nehemiah that we learn that he is in exile. And he's a cupbearer to the king, and he hears word of the state in Jerusalem, that the walls have been torn down. And essentially that its people are defenseless. And it's from that place of recognizing the brokenness of His people and His nation that He comes before the Lord and prays this prayer. And I would just encourage you, we're not going to have adequate time and space this morning, but to begin this process. I'd encourage you throughout this day and throughout this week to sit and put yourself in this story. What have you heard that has stirred your heart with, that's not fair, that's not just, that's terrible? Where is your heart connecting with that? And then in the midst of that, how would you come before the Lord like this? You'll see that Nehemiah starts with mourning. And then he moves to repentance. It's not just they have sinned and they have done this, so they are receiving this. It is we have, and I have, and me and my fathers and my family, we have. And he moves to a place of repentance. But then he begins to just lean into the promises of God. I know that when we choose wrong and we position ourselves outside of your blessing, that we can expect or imagine that these things could happen. But I also know that you said if we would return to you, if we would come to you, you would gather us from the ends of the earth. You would bring us back. You'll see this same kind of prayer in the book of Ezra, same time period. You'll see this same kind of prayer in Daniel 9 as Daniel's thinking about the prophetic judgment that will be upon Israel. And so just as we see this pattern in the Bible that people hear or recognize some form of judgment or some form of oppression, this pattern that they would come before the Lord with mourning and with repentance and then declaring the promises of the Lord. And you'll notice that he asks at the end for favor in action, because he's going to go ask the king for a favor to go return and rebuild the walls. So just imagine what that might look like in our church or in our community, or wherever your heart would be stirred toward injustice, oppression, need. To one person, it might be racial equality. To another, it might be the plight of the homeless in our community. To another, it might be heroin addiction in Everett. To another, it might be gender equality in the workplace. To one, it might be economic oppression. To another, it might be the hindrance of the gospel to move into a specific country or region. Where is the Lord stirring your heart? And then how would you respond? Because the conviction I've had this week is that too often, beyond the, oh, that's too bad, I don't respond with prayer. I don't respond with repentance. And I don't respond with action. But that's where the Lord would want to lead us. This is what Glenn Burris wrote about Las Vegas. And I'm just going to read this, and if you agree with each of these statements, may you say amen in faith. For Las Vegas, we pray for its communities of faith, for its shattered and broken families. We pray for those still recovering from their injuries and those whom hope seems a distant option. We pray against the kingdom of darkness and for God's presence to be seen and felt. We pray against fear and hopelessness. We pray for life-giving conversations amid the tears. We pray for comfort and for peace. We pray for provisions of needs we aren't even aware of. We pray for children who lost parents or siblings, for parents who lost children, for people who lost their friends. We pray for the spouses who lost theirs, for a community that's lost its confidence and peace. We pray for a deep cleansing of the souls of men and women that will turn them to the only one who can ultimately help them. As we pray for those who are dealing with such horror and loss, we pray for those who come alongside and help bear their burdens. We pray for the Foursquare disaster relief teams. We pray for the chaplains. We pray for the first responders. We pray for the local churches. And we pray that Christ followers across the nation will reach out with God's love to help the hurting around them. And would we be moved to more of this kind of prayer for our nation? for Houston, where we have people mucking houses that have been destroyed. For Puerto Rico, where water and power and shelter is absent for many. Would we pray for St. Louis, where an entire group of people feel marginalized and unprotected and unrepresented and feel the need to take to the streets to be heard? Would we find ourselves having prayer for the poor, for the orphan, for the immigrant, for the sick, for the unreached? Would we be a people that's moved to prayer? Because we have been comforted by the Comforter. And would we mobilize in prayer and in action to be a comfort to those around us? Even just this week, as I said, just please take time to spend some time reading and praying over that beginning of Nehemiah. If you're so moved by it, I encourage you to read Daniel 9, Ezra chapter 8, to look at how Moses would pray for the nation he was leading and represent. How do we engage in this community? And may we not be a people that put a bowl over the light that we have and hide, but would we be a beacon to our friends and family and community? All right, I just want to invite you to stand as we close in worship. It'll be the cross has the final word.
The cross has the final word. The cross has the final word. Sorrow may come in the darkest night. The cross has the
Nothing greater than the name of
nothing higher, nothing greater than the name of Jesus. All the honor, all the power, all the glory, the name of Jesus. Savior,
to all mankind. You are with us. And if God is for us, who can stand against us? Not even the grave. His love is higher, wider, longer, and deeper than any obstacle or oppression. Faithful, and He is constant in power and in love. God, be with us, because it's all hands on deck. So God, would You equip each and every one of us as ministers of Your grace, as ministers of Your gospel. We, Your church, doing Your mission with Your power to encourage, to serve, to heal, to help, to teach, to preach, to prophesy, to pray. Send us out in Your power. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. I just wanted to end with just praying for the Lord's favor in ministries here on Casino Road. Just as Nehemiah even ended with, give me favor as I would go to the king. Just want to see increasing favor on CRKM, Casino Road Kids, and Tyrone, and all the volunteers there. And on Hand in Hand, Safe Place, Todd and all the volunteers there, and on City Light with the many volunteers and leaders even represented today, and with Parent Life. Why, with Child Strive, the community church across the street, the Baptist church down the street, and the Spanish church that meets about an hour after we end. God, would you give them favor to do your will? Would you equip them to do your ministry? Would you give them favor with the city, favor with landowners and landlords and building owners? Favor with finance, favor with volunteers. Would you send workers into the harvest? Would you give them favor and receptivity that more and more people would accept your truth? Would you give them favor with discipleship that more and more people would grow in your truth? Would you give them more impact beyond even their direct ministry, that they would see fruit in adjacent ministry, as kids would reach parents and as kids would reach schools, as outreaches would reach families, and as families would transform neighborhoods. God, would you give favor? Would you give favor to every pastor, to every leader, to every volunteer, to every assistant? Thank you, Lord. In your name, amen.
Rise up. Stay up. You've been listening to a podcast from South Everett Foursquare Church. For more information about us, please visit us online at www.southeverett.org.